Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very V-A-R-Y Necessary Podcast. What's up, ladies? What's going on? How we feeling today?
What is it going
Gone
on?
Gone deaf.
Why?
It's too loud.
You know, the quality in these mics are very great. I mean, crisp.
That was through the headphone.
The headphones, the mic, everything is just...
The microphone.
Amplified.
Mm-hmm. The microphone is all right, but the headphone is what be troubling me. Y'all don't realize, as we get up in age, and the hearing start going away, it's a sensitivity. So before we experience hearing loss, mm-hmm. it's going to be a sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I think those who wear glasses already have hearing problems.
Right. Because, you know, I don't know if it's my superpower, the ADHD and ADD, but, you know, very small sounds like that and the pen clicking.
Oh, that bothers you?
Yes, hell. You smack around me.
Does that bother you?
What's that?
Smacking.
Clicking pens.
Smacking pen on the day.
Slurping.
Yeah, I don't like... Eating.
See, that doesn't bother me.
I think I can tune it out, and then on the days I cannot
tune out eating sounds.
It just depends on the day and my feelings.
And pen clicking.
Yeah.
That's, to me, is a soothing.
No.
The pen clicking is soothing
it's not.
To me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can, okay.
Uh-uh. And if I don't have a clicker on the top of my pen, I pop the top, so I... Close the top, pop the top. Close the top, pop the top.
Uh-uh. And see, that's when me and you, I'm going to snatch it out your hand and throw it across the room. Because why are you doing that?
So I had a manager that took all the pens off everyone's desk that would, you know, click. And she bought the kind that was the tops, and she didn't give everybody the tops to them.
That would have been me.
Yeah.
Because why the hell? Dog, mm-hmm. Why the hell? It's too much.
I don't pay it. No
why
attention.
Are we making?
I'm a noise person, though.
I'm not a noise person. I'm not. That's why when the goddamn babies get crying in the store, I put the shopping cart. I leave that bitch.
I can tolerate it for a very long time until I can't. Let me say that.
It just all depends on the day mm-mm. and my mood.
And that's why I say I'm near the end. I'm at the edge. I ain't got too many more days of good sense left in me. Good sense. Don't fuck with me. All
I
right.
Think that's gone.
That's
already.
Why I need that's think, why bro? I just need to stay home. Let me stay home in my house and don't bother me. Because everything people do at this point just annoy the shit out of me.
Lord.
Cause here we go. It's unnecessary shit. Hear me out.
If it's
necessary, fine. Fine. I had talked to this little girl the other day. Let's talk about it, counselor. So there's this question I have to ask in my assessment. Are you homicidal, suicidal? Are you having any anxiety, depression issues today? Every one of these kids want to be anxious about something. What do you ain't? So now... Rather than going on with my assessment like I need to, now I got to stop. What are you anxious about? Is it something that we can do something about today? Is it even something necessary for you to be anxious about? Mm-hmm. So, well, I'm always anxious.
They don't know why I'm anxious.
Yeah, you don't even know. Here's my thing. How are you always on 10 and you don't even know why you're always on 10? That is crazy. Because to me, I feel like that is unnecessary. You got a test coming up. It's normal to have normal test anxiety. Mm-hmm. Hey, you going to a new place tomorrow? It's normal to be a little anxious about a new place, new people, new environment. Mm-hmm. That's normal. But just, I'm always
anxious.
I wake up anxious. I'm anxious all day. I'm anxious because I never know what's going to happen.
In that type of
and that's what I told her. I said, baby, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you what anxiety is. Anxiety is once upon a time, I was in an unsafe environment. Mm-hmm. Something very unsafe happened to me. I couldn't get back to safety fast enough. Something made me feel some kind of way. And ever since then, I've told myself I'm not safe and I need to be on high alert at all times. How can you ever rest? How can you ever be calm? How can you ever be happy if you always waiting for the next fucking bad thing to happen to you? That baby broke down and cried in my office and said, "Damn, Miss Yolanda, I never thought about it like that. Yeah, you gonna grow up and be like my old mean ass if you don't stop that shit. Cause guess what? I was that same fucking little girl."
Calm. So did something traumatic happen to her in her past?
Yeah. Oh, calm the fuck down, baby. You
but
all
here's
right.
the thing. Nobody ever took the time
right.
to find out what was her triggers.
Right. Until we had that conversation that day. I said, I ain't going to say the shit going to go away today or tomorrow.
Right. It's going to take some time.
I'm telling you.
But she thought that was normal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She okay. thought it was normal to feel like that all the time. I said, no, that's not normal, baby. That's crazy. You want to know why? Because I'm her in the old lady body. And I'm trying to save you from becoming like me. All right? So let me bring you back. There's time to deprogram your ass.
So that is why I am glad that you all assess people before, you know, when they come in, because that's what they're doing now. Well, we can't call it social emotional learning anymore. Now we have to call it resiliency and wellness check. So now in schools, your child, children, grandchildren, niece, nephew, whoever, children in the neighborhood, they are all supposed to do a wellness check, resiliency check, in the first 2.5-3 hours of school to see what zone they are in. If they're in wellness zones of green, they put it in elementary school, they're supposed to put it by colors, green, blue, yellow, red, green, meaning happy zone, blue meaning sad, tired, bored, yellow meaning anxious, nervous, wiggly, and red, of course, that's when you're mad, mm-hmm. irritated, and all of that. So you are supposed to have this child fill this out. It doesn't supposed to take anything but 5 minutes. If the child checks yellow or red, that is when the school counselor, or if you have a school-based mental health professional in your school, they are supposed to send that referral to them, and then they come in and check on that child to see, you know, if how they could be of help and provide interventions and resources for that child. So it could be, like you said, it's an environmental thing. Nobody ever stopped to ask her, him or her, what is going on with you and why do you feel so anxious? What is a trigger? Do you even know how to identify triggers? And you, what you did was help her identify why she becomes so anxious and why she is anxious all the time. So from there, do y'all give resources to them, or do you all sign them up for like an appointment to see a interventionist or anything like that once they identify it?
In the environment they're in, there's no time for that. So I have to tell her, hey, once you're done with this, mm-hmm. I need you to go speak to somebody in behavioral health mm-hmm. because we need to learn how to channel all this anxious energy right. into mm-hmm. something positive
right.
before, you know, it spirals.
So I think the MFLEX are able to talk to the trainees.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, an MFLEX should be coming around to you all talking to see if there are any trainees and what brigade, is it brigade or battalion?
Battalion.
Okay, battalion they are in, so they can go and talk to that individual at that time and see if they can be of assistance, because they are now supposed to have downtime mm-hmm. in order for them to talk to somebody. And with MFLAC, the good thing about us is that we don't do documentation. Mm-hmm. We do non-clinical interventions and assessment.
And I think they should just offer that in school. Like, offer a, you know, just a, if this is something you want to participate in it. Just like a little yoga, a wellness, a meditation, I don't know. Like something. I need a space. I need a space where it's just for me.
Yeah.
Just for me. And so, just for me to unwind. Yes. Like, we can't hear you, Mr. Engineer. Our engineer is chiming in. He's an educator.
Because I want to say something before he... No. Okay. No, while he's getting that together, I think it's important for before the start of testing. Every class that there should be like 5 or 10 minutes of quiet time or thought time or
yes, you know, you are correct, Vaughn. It is supposed to be like that. That's why I said in that first 2.5-3 hours of the day, it is supposed to be implemented in every school that you're supposed to have that wellness check.
Yeah,
you are supposed to do that. And that's why, you know, that's why I have jobs in the school. That's why other mental health professionals and behavior interventionists now have jobs in the school, because they're supposed to have those things.
Especially like testing days.
Like, do you all do trauma-informed
at work
care? Yeah. No. Have y'all been?
Well, I'm not going to say no.
Have you? Have y'all done that?
Damn.
Go ahead, Yosha. I know.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. No.
Y'all have it.
Well, we recently have upped those efforts, because last Monday, no, the Thursday prior to last week, we had a student commit death by suicide, is what the perfect term is, the right term, correct term for it now.
Right.
Yeah, and nobody knew anything was wrong with him. Nobody knew anything. He went, dropped his sister off at school. He was a senior. And he went back home, and when he went back home, he stayed home. His aunt was in the house, and he was upstairs, and she said basically what was said is that all they heard was a bang. All the aunt heard was a bang, and she went upstairs. But prior to that, he was texting all his friends how much he loved them. He was sending them his video game logins so they could use his video games. And that's kind of
recognize the signs of abnormalcy coming from
a
person.
And they said he was like fine. It was like literally no issue.
But nobody thought weird.
Yeah. No. He did that like minutes before he did texting everybody. Okay. But even when they went back, they was like, you know, they just don't know what caused him to do that. So now we have a little bit more. I think we had it anyway, because we have a therapist on campus, and she'll see whoever at whatever point there is. But I think the awareness is heightened drastically now, at least on our campus. And I think that they do have these programs, and they do have stuff, you know, before, but it don't really come full. They don't really come in full until something happens. Excuse me. And when something happens, that's when it comes. But me, like with my basketball team, I grind them down all week. But Friday morning, they have to be to school at 7. There's a lady who works there, but she's also a licensed yoga instructor. So she comes in on Friday mornings at 7, and we do a yoga session from 7 to 7:45.
Fantastic.
And then after that, they go to class. Mm-hmm. And then we back at it on Monday, grind down again. And she's really good. She talks about just being in the moment, you know, letting everything go, thinking about what you got going on, and just finding a way to flush that out right now to focus on the rest. So she does a really good with intentions and all that stuff. And for young men, and you would, you know, at first they thought it was ki-ki-ki-ki-ki-ki-ki, but then as they did, like, I think after the second session, they was like one of the kids, like, coach, I feel way better. Like, I just feel better.
Good.
And so I don't think people know until they get a chance to do it that it's the case. And because when I was doing yoga, that's the best time that I had, like mentally, was some of the best times that I had. I got to get back to it, but it's a way to reset yourself, really.
I just had to catch myself because I'm like, gosh, 18, 19 years old, like they haven't been through life yet to, you know, why would someone want to, you know, do this to themselves. But you know what? I don't live in his world, in his headspace. Well,
that's the thing.
I don't know what he has gone through.
And I know you. I know that people hear it, right? People hear it all the time. You know, this statement, and Sue know what I'm talking about. It's y'all have no idea what these kids are going. No clue what these kids are going. The things the kids talk to me about, some of it I'd never been through.
And it's heartbreaking.
It is. There's a young man that I know at a former school that I worked at. This man, every time he went home, was molested by three different people. Two guys and a woman. Every day. He said it's been like that for as long as he could remember. He just can't wait to go to college so he can get away from it. I've never been through that.
Right.
What do I even say to this kid?
Right.
All I could do is sit there and listen. So when I'm telling you nobody knows what these kids is going through at the house.
Why is he still even going back to that home? Why aren't these people in jail?
I did my reporting because we're supposed to mandate.
Yeah, you're mandating.
So I did what I was supposed to do. I don't know who's done anything before. I don't know why it's still happening. I don't know. Well, it's not now because this is a couple years ago. I don't know. I haven't kept up with the kid
at all. And that's another thing why we say, well, why did a person stay in the situation? That's all they know.
They can't get out.
They don't know how.
Or some of them have no place to go.
And
because two of the people didn't live at the house.
Right.
They were family members. These are all family members.
Until he finds his voice to advocate for himself and speak out, he or she are always going to be trapped in their own mind with holding everything that's going on.
And that's why my heart goes out to children who, you know, they can't really do anything for themselves.
Because who's going to believe a child? That's probably what's going on in their mind. Who's going to believe me?
And then if someone does believe me, how do I even take care of myself? I'm a kid. I can't get an apartment. I can't get a car. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot that I can't really do for myself. I watched this Netflix series Friday called Unknown Number. I don't know if y'all have heard of it. But it was a young lady who had gone through years of... like about a year and a half of stalking her and her boyfriend.
Is it the mom?
It was the damn mama.
Okay. Yeah. I watched
it. I heard about it. I haven't watched it yet.
Who the hell?
That is a good one.
I haven't watched it yet. I'm so behind mama. On everything.
This so your mother. This, Yoshi, I didn't watch it, but I've heard it. They said even when the mother got caught, the daughter was still like,
I love my mom.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah. She was like, yeah, I know my mom did it, but she's my mom, and so, I love her.
Yeah, I love her, and what you want me to do?
But you know, they always say, well, that's your family. And so you love them
But
regardless.
Your mother is sending you texts, die bitch, kill yourself, bitch.
Yeah.
I hate you. You look anorexic, body shaming her, telling her how she wanted to have sex with her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. She was like infatuated with the little girl's boyfriend, like sending, like for her to just have a year and a half, really, she should have gotten longer because she was very sexually inappropriate to the Texas, to the little boy. And it should have been more than that. That should have been more than stalking.
So did they say the mom was something like mentally unstable?
Yeah, she said that years of abuse and whatever she had going was bullshit.
But I'm going to tell you what was crazy about, well, first off, the documentary was done this exceptionally well because really I didn't know who was doing it until the end. Like literally you're watching this going, it's them. Oh no, it ain't her. Okay, well, it's because you know, usually with documentaries, you can go, I see where this is
because
going.
Because the mom was talking in the documentary as though she didn't know who it was.
Like she didn't know who it was.
Well,
and even at the end, she still don't think she did nothing wrong now.
But none of this surprises me.
I need to watch this.
And say,
you gotta watch. It's a must watch.
Every parent has a bad parenting moment. This is how she's justifying what she did. Every parent has a bad parenting moment and is not proud of how they might have raised their kid. And I just did a bad thing. And
she's definitely a cluster type.
You can't even have personality. You cannot even have contact with your child.
And she doesn't care. It doesn't bother her.
Because she feels like she should have a right to have a relationship with her daughter.
Yep.
Wow. So imagine doing those things and you know that this is your mother doing those
lying
things.
Lying to her husband every day that she going to work.
Yeah, she was lying. She going to work every day. Mm-hmm. Wasn't going to work.
How was the child affected by this? Oof. As once they found out, we know she's a mom.
She became a pariah at school.
Yeah, everybody has cut her off. Yeah, she has no friends.
She wasn't only messing with her daughter.
She was messing with all of the boyfriend, all of the people on the basketball team.
Yep, all the people on the
basketball. So nobody on the basketball team has anything to do with. So this is a very popular pretty girl.
Yeah.
She has no friends at school anymore. Nobody wants anything to do with her.
Is she seeking help? Is she getting help?
I mean, she just kind of stays with her dad and just kind of isolates herself. She's in school. They live in a little small town, Beale City. What is it, Michigan? And the town got one stoplight. It's very close-knit. The kids go to school from kindergarten to 12th grade.
In the same building. Yeah.
Yeah. She still needs some type of supports besides dad.
She's going to break down.
Yeah. But dad, with dad was, he ends up divorcing her. But like following her up, because I think she had to take money. She kept asking for money for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up losing their house.
Yep. They lost their house.
They ended up losing two houses, actually. Mm-hmm. They had one, bought another one, had the second one lost.
They put
everything in storage. They lost the storage. Lost all kind of keepsakes and everything.
This man said he lost his whole freaking life fooling with this lady.
Oh. Yeah, she was definitely axis too. That was some personality type stuff going on right there.
Yes,
definitely.
And nobody could understand how, because she was not only texting, so she would text the boy and the girl, but she would make it look like other people in the school were doing it. So she would take their pictures and different things. So she had become friends with them on social media through fake accounts, taking the picture, sending them, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. So she would make it look like the other students were the ones sending the text. So they were making the cousin.
I just got to catch up on a lot of stuff.
And I'm looking like, how do you do this to your own child?
And the stuff she would, when I tell you the stuff she was telling her.
It was crazy.
Believe it or not, I mean, it's a lot of parents that envy their children and try to live through their children and don't want what's best for their child. They don't. And that's why I said, imagine doing all of this and you know that it's your parent doing this, because there are parents that do this.
Mm-hmm.
There are parents that go after their daughter's boyfriend, and there are parents that want to be friends with their daughter and son's friends. And it is creepy.
But they had a therapist diagnose it and say it's like a Munchausen.
Mm-hmm.
So it was to break her down so she would run to the mother.
Right, because she wanted to feel needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did that ever happen? Did she ever run to the mother?
Yeah, she was very dependent on the mother because she was like, mommy, help me find out who's doing this. And the mother would just be like, don't worry about it. I'm going to find out who's doing it. And da-da-da-da-da.
The mother. Yeah.
So the police, a detective broke the case,
FBI had to come in.
Yeah, FBI had to come in.
Like the local people couldn't.
And check the IP addresses. Yeah, the local police could not figure it out.
IP addresses, and then they kept backtracking the IP addresses.
To her.
And it ended up like a couple of the numbers IP address went back, because she was using those text apps.
Yeah.
And so I think two of them came back to her.
Mm.
Yeah,
this right here just goes to show you your abuser and the abusee. Am I saying that right? Abusee and abuser. Just take it a step further in domestic violence situations and these people that still go back to the person that abused them, and they still have a sense of
control.
Yeah, they still got that control over them. Like, absolutely. You sit there like, you can run away, you can leave, but you go back.
You come back to me.
You go back. Because is that familiar?
Because the whole time she was with her, time the woman was in jail, the daughter was the only person that communicated with the mother.
Mm-hmm. And that's that control that her mother still has. And in the back of her mind, she said, I got her.
And she's like, and she's feeling, well, that's my mom, because somebody probably has told, that's still your mother. Uh-huh. And you have the right, and you need to love her regardless of that. That's why I said she needs some type of therapy, somebody that's guiding her to show her that, yeah, I can love my mom, but only from a distance, and understand that your mother is sick. And she needs help.
But do you have to love that person?
No, you don't.
No, you don't. You don't have to love it. That's what I'm saying. Those are when boundaries are formed. Like, I know this is my mother, and I will have love for her because she is my mother. However, I don't have to be as close. Our relationship is not going to be a relationship that maybe my friends and my friends have with their parents.
That's traumatizing.
But you know, people will put a thought in your head as to how you should be and what you should do. Oh, you should forgive them. You should be the bigger person. You should do this. You should do. Don't tell me how to feel about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's that control shit. Me and you talked about that earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get me mad? Mm-hmm. Tell me how the hell I should feel about something. I'm going to feel how I want to goddamn feel.
Let people process it in the way that they need to process.
Exactly. Don't tell nobody how to feel about nothing. People get over things in their time, not when you say it should be over. How long you going to be mad at however fucking long I want to be mad.
That's just like grieving. Do not tell people how long they should grieve. Some people may do it in the front end. There's no expiration date in anything. Allow people to heal and forgive the way they should give. Mm-hmm. They should do it. That's it.
People felt like I didn't grieve when my husband died the way they felt like I should have grieved. Okay, so I ain't sitting on Facebook crying every day. Yeah, I'm going to choose to make some kind of happiness out of what I have. You don't know what I'm doing
in the back end.
Yeah, but if I want to put up a post or put up a happy this or put up a smiling picture, does that mean I'm still not sad because he's not here? But somebody want to tell you, oh, she don't seem like she just lost her husband. What the fuck?
You know what? I think because we have all these social media platforms now, everybody thinks that they should have this access to the personal you. Mm-hmm. You know, I always talk about my favorite activity to do in group is the friendship circle, the friendship. It circles to this thing. You have people that is in your outer realm circle. You have people then it's like three or four circles. Then you have the small circle in the middle. And I always ask my students and the people that I do this activity with, why do you think that circle is so small? Because a lot of people aren't supposed to be in it.
Right.
I like that.
Because people think that you have shared your life, part of your life, I may add, to social media, that they think that they have this access to you to know how you're feeling at all times. And that's so unfair.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I don't share everything, I'm not going to share everything until I'm ready about, you know, what's going on. And then I don't have to share it all.
Exactly.
Because I have those people that's in that small circle that will probably know when I'm feeling sad. Like I knew when you were down and out, when everything was going on, when you had lost your husband.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean everybody else around you should have known it.
Mm-mm.
I mean, because those are those people. That's why they are intimate
relationships.
Yeah. Intimate.
Yes. I like that. The same way. And these are the same people who feel like 9 years later, why is she still talking about him?
Because
it's been 9 years.
Well, it's been a part of life.
People, this is my journey. This is not yours. So you handle your journey the way you want to. Let me handle mine the way I want to.
And if you don't like what somebody is doing or posting, guess what you can do? Scroll and roll.
But people don't know how to mind their business.
Get the fuck on.
They don't know how to mind their business.
And they do stuff behind the scenes. If you want to be negative about someone who you are following, you should not follow them. You don't have good thoughts about this person. Ding, I don't ding, know. Ding, 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 I don't ding. Even know how you feel like you can be a good Christian or a good steward or even a good positive person in this world if you're going to have evil looming thoughts mm-hmm. about someone you choose to. Anyone who I feel like is just annoying or I just can't stand, I take them Remove motherfuckers them. Off my page.
Remove them.
I be like, oh, this nigga gets on my nerves. Let me take this mm-hmm. motherfucker off of here. That's what I do. Because I don't even want to have bad thoughts about anybody. Right. That's why I make it a point every day on my happy birthdays. I try mm-hmm. to wish everybody a happy birthday Same. As much as I can. Mm-hmm. Because guess what? Birthdays are so important to me.
Yes.
My birthday is important. So, of course, everybody's birthday is important. And I think everybody is so important to somebody.
Right.
So, hell yeah. I want you to celebrate. And your day is your day. I mean, y'all got it.
And that's probably the only time that person get acknowledged, celebrated, you know.
Right. If I don't acknowledge right, you because.
They, and you probably will make their will, day.
Because mm-hmm. people will never comment on anything you do. Mm-hmm. And there are people who don't necessarily post or do anything on their page. They're just there.
Mm-hmm.
But just the fact that I wished you a happy birthday. Birthday on your birthday, that's my interaction with you. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I followed you, you followed me.
Right.
I don't know. But at least that was my interaction with you.
Right.
So it can never be said that, well, she don't even, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. And if it's somebody that I do have a relationship with, I try to make my happy birthday a little more
sweeter.
Yeah. Like, hey, girl, you looking great. I mm-hmm. hope you have an extra special birthday today.
Enjoy this year round. Enjoy.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I do that. Because that's what I want
right.
from mm-hmm. other people. Make mine a little extra special if I'm a little extra special to you.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't expect nothing from nobody that I wouldn't do my damn self.
Right.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, that's just like sometimes people, you know, when you post stuff, you make people day. Vaughn posts stuff, you make people day. I might put something in my story time or two. It may make somebody day or encourage them to do something. You know, and we all hear it. People always say things. You know, it's just that's what you do.
But
just
it could be. But what I take away from something, it could be totally different. Vaughn right. love to post pictures of herself mm-hmm. having a good time because she right. just she knows she beautiful.
Yeah,
I know my friend.
And I'm
friend,
holding back on and some know, more pictures and I want to post.
My
but
friend
I ain't
is beautiful. But let me tell you something. I have never seen my friend feel herself the way she feeling herself at this point in time. So I know she knows she fine.
Right.
I know she always thought she was beautiful, mm-hmm. but she's really feeling her motherfucking self goodness. Right now. So I'm over here as her motherfucking homegirl, mm-hmm. hyping her the fuck up.
Right.
Hype this bitch up. Right. She's feeling herself. But mm-hmm. I know it's a lurker in the background.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
This bitch always up here.
I'm sure there.
Look at some kind. Many. But guess what? I'm going to keep hyping my friend up.
Right.
But she's feeling herself. She's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
She's gorgeous.
Yep.
Give her that.
Yep.
Tell her how beautiful she looks.
Mm-hmm.
Why we can't do that? Like, I just watched this lady the other day talking about pretty privilege.
Oh, yeah, Saweetie.
Women.
The Saweetie said. And oh, this, well, she said pretty punishment.
No, it might be. It's a yeah. punishment, too. Because yeah, let me tell you something.
That's what Saweetie said. That's why she feels like she's not
it can be somebody who, and I don't want to say what's pretty and what's ugly, what's attractive, mm-hmm. what's not. But it can be a heavy set woman. She might not be so aesthetically attractive to the masses. And y'all will hype this motherfucker up. Oh, you're so beautiful. Oh, don't feel this way. You're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. But then another beautiful woman put something up there. Be fucking 2 likes and this bitch thinks she all of that. So pretty is a privilege in some aspects, but it's also a curse. because you have the people who hate on her because she's beautiful. And here I am out here with my 40, almost 9 fine ass. And I'm going to tell you something. You ain't going to make me feel bad about how motherfucking cute I am. I'm going to toot my own horn. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show my ass. I'm just going to get finer. So if you don't want to look at me, you better keep on scrolling because I'm just going to get on your goddamn nerves. But I'm here to tell you, they hating on the pretty bitches. So they is doing that.
So what Saweetie is basically saying, being pretty has its consequences.
Yeah. It does. And that's not right.
No.
Because why is it my
fault? But who are the people that are...
The ones that want to look like her. The ones that want to look like her.
That's what I'm thinking. Is it the ones that want to be her, yes. Have her life?
They want to look like her. They want to have her life.
Or they don't get the attention in their own right. In their own
or don't feel like they're pretty. Because, see, I'm pretty, right? And I think Saweetie is pretty. Mm-hmm. So I would like the post if Beyonce put it up, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not a Beyonce hater. I think Beyonce is magnificent.
She is.
But you're going to have hoes that hate on, I don't think she sang that good. Mm-hmm. I don't think she all that. Okay, but bitch, you ain't sold a album. Bitch, you ain't had one hit. You ain't sold nothing. You ain't sold a mixtape, motherfucker.
But you got, why can't everybody just be respect in her their as own a artist? Lane. Right.
Right. Why we can't all just fucking get along and be like, well, yeah, she's a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just agree to disagree. Why agree you gotta to be disagree. Like, oh, I don't think she all that and da 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 da. It's just a lot.
Yeah.
And
I'm not a big fan of people who tear people down because of the way they look or the way they dress or the way they let's talk about Trinidad James.
And so
he's
very
out there.
Right.
And he's very unapologetic about his life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he paints his nails, he wears hairs in different styles, he's very eclectic with his clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And people gonna say everything under the sun except he looks good. His music is great, his whatever.
And he's a great businessman.
But like you said, you hadn't even started your business yet. You hadn't even, you can't afford to get your nails done. Or, you know, like, why are you hating on someone for doing something that you can't even do yourself? Why?
Why?
Because nobody hates on somebody that's at a level equivalent or better than. You see what I'm saying? It's always the lesser that is. It's an issue with.
Not only that, some people feel like they can't have two bad bitches in the room at the same time.
Uh-huh.
That's another problem.
Somebody said, well, don't such and such look good? And the response was, we all look good. Why you just can't say the person look good?
Because it can't be two good bad God bitches in the same morning. Room at the same time.
Yeah.
Whether it's a male or female.
Yes, it can, because there's three bad bitches in the room right now.
But the person who thinks that they should be the only one complimented.
Yeah, I don't like that.
They feel
that.
Like they can't, y'all beneath me and y'all have your time when I'm not in the room.
People like that for real.
And that is sad.
And the people are around them and I'm like, y'all do better. Y'all got to be a little bit more aware.
Gots to be. Because as we know, beauty fades and things don't always be on what we think it is, and people change, and you got to realize you're not going to always be in that same position. So humble yourself.
Yeah. And humble. You know what? I don't even
bring it down a notch.
I don't even want to be remembered for being a beautiful girl, because I mean, I'll be honest, I always been cute since I was born. I mean, I had my little ugly phase in high school when I had my little acne and shit. But I was even cute then, you know.
I
mean, my parents really should be arrested for, you know, having me. they should. My parents don't have ugly children. They don't. My parents are good looking parents. It is what it is. I don't want to be remembered for being the pretty girl. I want to be remembered for being just as beautiful. And it's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
because I'm a bad motherfucker in the brain. I'm smart. I'm not only pretty, aesthetically pretty. My mind is beautiful. That's what I want to be remembered for.
You know what? That reminded me. I don't know if y'all saw the Cardi B interview mm-hmm. with Gayle.
Not yet. Yes. No. I've only seen the clips. I thought it was with Kelly. Yeah.
Okay. Y'all got to watch that. And it gives you just a whole new perspective on why she grinds
on
the way
Cardi.
She,
yeah.
And she's just not a pretty face. She's
well,
not.
Gayle said she's her new girl crush. And she says she has a girl crush
when you
on
listen,
Cardi B.
When you listen to that interview, if you liked her, you're going to like her even more.
And I
you
but
didn't
she's
like
always
her,
been very smart.
And I said once upon a time, and I know you remember this, mm-hmm. once upon a time, Cardi had a song out and it was irritating. And she used to make this little bird sound. And it was so annoying. And maybe that's because I don't like that. Yeah. And she just plucked my nerves. But along and along the way,
she has matured.
Grown.
But she even matured in herself.
Yes, I have grown to love Cardi.
The mm-hmm. album is not that bad. I listened to the album Friday.
And let me tell you something.
My favorite is Dead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that the one that said Hello?
No, Hello.
Hello. No. Hello. I like Hello.
I have grown to love Cardi over time. That's a bad motherfucker.
Well, yes, that's why I liked her version of Imaginary Players, because I understood exactly yes. what she was saying in that song.
That's
I'm
right.
Like,
everything.
She can talk her shit because she can back it up.
Exactly. And that's what bitches from the Bronx born in October do.
They
I'm
just,
sorry.
It's just a, I mean, I don't know. I don't know why everybody wants to think because her dialect and maybe her native tongue is so, you know, that
it's
people
from,
that
she's from Dominican Republic.
Her mm-hmm. teachers have all came out and said she was always smart.
Always
she was
smart.
In AP classes. Mm-hmm. The young lady is very smart.
I'm telling you.
Very smart.
She's one where she's just not a pretty face.
Right.
Exactly.
She was the only one. I'm sorry. She was to me. She was the only one I love in hip hop that made.
Love in hip hop.
Made it out of there. My mom was the one that told me about Cardi B because I knew nothing about her. My mom is a reality star snob. She loves reality shows. Okay. So she was like, you know who Cardi B? I said, Mama, I don't know who you talking about. And she was the one mom said, that girl is very smart, mm-hmm. and she used this platform to what she needed
but
to
what
do
she,
so she can rise higher.
One of the onlyest ones. One of the, out of maybe, between her and Remy Ma.
I would have been considering, because Remy had already
she
had
a already
name.
She already
had
a name
made
for
something.
Herself.
She was the only one that did not have a name amongst other ones that did not have a name that made it out. And she was determined.
Exactly.
Nothing was going to hold her down.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
look at a lot of her earlier Love & Hip Hop segments. She was really serious about her craft.
She was.
But they mm-hmm. weren't taking her serious.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
it took one
song. And she made the crowd love her.
And just go back to everyday people. People don't take you serious mm-mm. until you pop out on them.
Mm-hmm.
But until you pop out on them, they gonna be, where did she come from? Uh-huh. I always been here, but you never wanted to take a chance on
right.
me. It could be in relationships, mm-hmm. friendships, mm-hmm. situationships. You mm-hmm. didn't want to take a chance on because you was scared of what the other people might have thought mm-hmm. of you connecting with me.
That's right.
And that's what happened. Nobody wanted to associate themselves with her because she was a stripper on the pole.
Right.
And your looks, your teeth look ugly.
Right.
You had all these negatives, and I promise you, she never let any of that stop her.
Because she said when she would strip, you know, she would talk to those businessmen, and they would talk to her about stuff in business. And mm-hmm. she was like, yeah. And she said, some of them, she would tell them, like, okay, so what should we do when this happens and that happens? And she said, that's how she learned a lot of stuff.
Yes.
About money.
I love the story of the underdog.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, she is the underdog that came out. And I love her album. Is I'm telling you, I got a lot of tops, but the album speaks to her. It's a good album.
It's not bad. It's good.
Like anybody that come out of a bad relationship to make a album, it's going to be juicy.
Right.
It's going to be juicy because you're looking at them in real time, and then you get to hear what they went through.
And just like everybody.
Everybody
like,
loves the drama. Right. You know, so. Yeah.
And so now, okay, she's not divorced yet, but she is pregnant with the NFL player's baby. And
now that only can happen in Hollywood. Y'all everyday people that still married out there sleeping around.
And not in a certain tax bracket.
Don't do it.
Please.
Only a certain tax bracket can get away with it. Okay, so don't do it. Don't go out here and still be married and pop out with another baby.
Don't do it. Some people have done it.
I mean, my ex-sister-in-law did it.
I mean, see, some people have done it.
I mean,
it,
you can do it, but don't think it's as easy. The consequences, you know, they in a different tax bracket. They can do little things differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But hey, you know. You do what you do.
Look, long
and
as
like
good
somebody
value.
Said, okay, she got four kids, but she can take care of every
wait
last
a minute.
One of
wait a minute. Where the four came from? I thought she had the boy and the girl
and Blossom, mm-hmm, the little baby.
Culture Blossom is the youngest right now.
I think Blossom gonna be. My
but there's
favorite.
One in between Blossom and Culture.
Yes, yeah, the little boy.
I thought she only had two from Offset. Mm-mm,
three.
She
had three.
Oh my God.
Because when Blossom, they got back together,
you
they
went
got,
and had three goddamn babies
don't
from
you
this
think,
loser.
Wait a minute.
Oh,
don't
Lord.
You think
but Culture is so cute.
Yes, she is, but I think Blossom gonna have Cardi's personality though.
You think so?
I think
already?
So. Yes. Because Blossom is a true Blossom.
And,
looking at her and cracking
and
up.
Baby, when you got Cardi money, you can do these things. But I need y'all women, you young women, to be a little more selective. Who y'all lay down and have children with.
Y'all know.
Because y'all stuck with looking at this man the rest of your life.
Do you?
Well, I'm just saying, be selective.
It just depends. I mean, Cardi wanted another kid. She wanted another baby.
I mean, and Cardi can do that. Because Cardi can take care of her children.
Mm-hmm.
Cardi can take care of her children. Yeah. But just like I saw in a report, when you're that girl and you can take care of your children, but you got to remember, there's another entity that's a part of your family.
Mm-hmm.
And when that man feels like he can no longer be a part of that,
mm-hmm,
and you don't know what kind of headspace he's in,
mm-hmm,
that's when he comes back to take everything away from you.
Or mm-hmm, try.
Or try to. Mm-hmm. So that's when you got ignorance who tries to come in and kill you, mm-hmm, and kill your kids, mm-hmm, and do whatever, try to hurt, mm-hmm, you, mm-hmm, try to sabotage.
Well, that's jealousy at that point.
Yeah, but at that point, there's no turning back. If he can't get to you or anything that you're doing, what is left to do to take things away from you? Look at the man who killed Jennifer Hudson's mama
and
son and brother. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, because when you're there and they can no longer come back in that space,
right?
What do? They do the ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say be selective.
Because mm-hmm,
mm-hmm, when a man has nothing to lose, he's
going to
take
right,
everything mm-hmm,
away
well,
from
you.
Well, that's true. That is true. But Offset, he's all right. He dating some beautiful girl. And everything. He all right. I mean, I'm sure his ego a little bruised because she went on with her life. And because like she said in that song, she can do it too. That's what Outside is about.
Mm.
That's what Outside is definitely about.
Yes. That whole album is nice.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I really did.
Therapy. No.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, my favorite song is Dead. Right now, I got a top five and Dead is good. I think she took Offset beat and made that song.
I think she did.
I think.
But now, and the way she just dissed JT and Bia, good grief.
Oh,
petty, in the morning.
Pretty and Petty.
Yeah. Gee.
Uh-oh.
I didn't even know her and JT had anything.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, JT is Nikki's girl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is a really
good. Let's ride out.
Yeah.
All right.
But on that note, y'all stop being petty and mind your business.
Mm-hmm.
Drink your water. Hydrate. And we living in a day and time where, you know, things are happening light year speed and mm-hmm, we don't have time to be stagnant mm-hmm, and worry about other people because I tell you they ain't worrying about you.
And you can't get to heaven acting like a hellion.
Well, you got to first walk on earth before you even think about getting on heaven. You got to walk the soil first. You got to be able to maintain here, get your life right.
Here.
Yeah.
On earth. Be a good steward.
Yeah. With that being said,
amen, glory, hallelujah.
Thank you for tuning in for today's episode. Never miss an episode. Catch us on our website at theverynecessarypodcast.com. Send us an also very necessary letter at theverynecessarypodcast@gmail.com. And we're going to let Susie take us out.
Y'all, just a reminder, as we was talking about earlier, September is Suicide Prevention Month. And if you ever need any assistance, you can always inbox us. And also, you can dial the universal number 988 and you will receive the help that you need. We out.
Bye.
Peace. Okay, we can talk.